When I was about 25 years old, I was just out mowing our yard and, you know, mowing the grass like you normally do or whatever. And as I mowed, I noticed a guy stopped his car across the street, about 65-year-old gentleman, got out of his car and he started to approach me. And so I have no idea what's going on. So shut the lawnmower down and we started to have a conversation. And he explained to me that he was lost and he was trying to find this particular address. And so he started to describe where he was trying to go. And So I listened, and then I started to describe back where it was that I thought he could go to get to where he wanted to be. And so we had a conversation for a couple minutes, and I felt pretty proud of myself. You know, I wanted to get my lawn mowed, but I stopped and had this conversation. And as we were finishing, he turned to me and he said, "Hey, just really sorry about your hair. Don't worry about it. It happens to the best of us." I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, okay, I'm working outside. My hair's probably a little bit messy, but I have no idea. And the puzzled look on my face must have been pretty obvious because he was like, "Well, yeah, I mean, your hair's thinning, and that happens to a lot of guys, so it's no big deal." Okay. And really, I mean, I don't have the thickest hair in the world, but it's pretty much been this since high school. I mean, like, it really, you know, and whether it's thinning, I don't know, it might be a little thin. But until that moment, like, I had literally never given it a thought at all. I was like, okay. And really, you know, it hasn't changed anything since that day or since high school. But honestly, I think about it for at least a moment every single day. Usually when I'm putting, you know, I got goop and I jam it into my hair or whatever. And I'm like, okay, is it looking thin? Is it thinning? What's going, you know, and I have no idea even where that guy was trying to get to. Right? It's no big deal. I mean, we got a lot of guys at this church pulling off the shaved head look, and they look good. And so if that happens, okay. And I'm not stressed out about it, but something about that moment, something about that conversation with this guy, a totally insignificant moment, has stayed with me. That particular moment has impacted my thinking. It's impacted me. And for all of us, we have moments that have changed everything. Some of those moments are really, really important. Some of those moments aren't so critical, and yet they change us. There's those moments where we look back and we're like, oh yeah, that was the moment that changed everything. You know, you remember that moment where your future wife walked into the room for the first time? The moment changed everything, right? The moment where you got into a car crash and there was an injury that you suffered, and now you deal with that for the rest of your life. There was that moment where somebody offered you a job and you stepped into a career that's now set the direction for your life. There was the moment where you got news that a person that you loved had passed away and everything changed. There was the moment that you agreed to go to church for the first time and then everything changed. The moment your child was born, the moment you met that friend, the moment you moved to that city, everything changed in that. The moment you discovered that Red Robin gives unlimited French fry refills, everything changed. If you've got two boys, which I do, everything changed. Like, we could go there. Fill up, fellas. There's that moment. There's those moments where things change, where everything is now different. And some of them you can control. Some of those moments you can predict. And some of them just happen. And the result of those moments, ultimately, is that everything changes. And those moments, they have the potential to destroy us. Those moments also have the potential to create some dramatic transformation in our lives that can lead to some growth that we never even thought possible. And in those moments that change everything, the perspective that we take, or how we respond to those moments, will determine what we look like when all of the dust settles from that moment. And if we're going to survive, and if we're going to thrive in those moments, something we have to understand is that we are transformed when we say yes to Jesus. And during this series, we've been talking about transformation, and we've been talking about growth. And in these moments where everything changes, if we'll recognize that in those moments we'll say yes to whatever it is that Jesus is speaking to us about, if we'll respond, transformation will happen in our lives. And those situations can lead us in our lives to something greater than anything we could have ever imagined. And so during this series, our focus has been, what are some areas of our lives where you can grow? What are some areas of my life where I can grow? And we've been talking about, what does it take to grow? What does it take to be transformed? And how does that growth happen? And how do we allow ourselves to be transformed? At the base, we are transformed anytime we say yes to what Jesus calls us to do. Now, there's a very brave group of individuals who have said yes to a particular opportunity. And if you've been here, you know that we felt that there would be great value in having a few different individuals grow in their ability to preach, grow in their ability to teach. And so we asked some guys to pray and ask them to consider if Jesus would be asking them to preach. And they said yes. And so each week, a portion of this message or these messages during this series, a guy has come up and preached and been literally had an opportunity to be transformed. And let me just be honest, if you ever get the opportunity to preach, it will transform you. Especially if you try that, you know, the old tip about public speaking where you try to imagine everybody in their underwear. Like that, we actually didn't tell them to do that. So don't worry. Do you guys know that tip? It's really, don't try it. It doesn't help. I heard it on Brady Bunch once. It's not helpful at all. It's supposed to make you relax. It doesn't. It just throws you off. So these guys have been working hard. They're prepared. They spend time writing. They come in and they rehearse through it. And then they come up and present to you. So this morning, coming to the platform, is a gentleman named Will Little. Will, come on up. Will works with our, I think he's going to Will's going to tell you a little bit about areas that he works here in the church, but let me just pray for you, Will, and then take it away. God, thank you so much for this morning for Will. Thank you for what you've laid on his heart. God, thank you for the ways that you're helping grow and transform Will, even through this process. God, would you speak through him now? Would you allow his words to have an impact on who we are? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brent. Good morning, everybody. Like Brent said, my name is Will. I'm used to preparing messages for the 5th and 6th graders here on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night's all about fun. It's about games and mostly playing around with the kids. So the messages that I put together are usually pretty short, pretty simple. I get short attention spans with kids that are all riled up. So I'm really excited today to be able to present a more in-depth, a more complicated message to share. Today I'd like to use an analogy to help me out, to help express what I'm trying to share, express the idea that I'm trying to get across. So I am a professional gardener. It's what I do for a living. I'm one of those people blessed enough to do what he loves to do. I enjoy going to work. I love my everyday. I'm also an amateur woodworker. I like to putz around in my garage on any number of small woodworking projects. Anything that's really tickling my fancy that week. Those are things I like to do. So with those things, the obvious analogy that I would draw to use would be with cars. I know that doesn't exactly make sense, but let's go with it. Let's see how it works. There used to be this show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. The analogy I like to use is about cars. If I could ask each one of us today to imagine your entire life, your entire being, everything that you are, as a car, perhaps your car. If you can take everything that you are, your whole life, your entire everything, and turn it into your car. Now, all of our cars more or less do what we ask them to do. They get us to work. They get us to church. They take the kids where the kids need to go. They do what we ask them to do. That's why we have them. All of our cars tend to have little things wrong with them, small flaws, things that aren't major, you know, a nick in the paint or a dent in the fender, or when you turn the fan all the way up, it makes a weird ticking noise, you know, things like that. It's roll down the window in the back and it doesn't go all the way down. I don't know how many of us still have cars that do this, but you know what I mean. There used to be a show on television. I don't know if it's still on or not. A couple years ago, it was called Pimp My Ride. In this show, young people, early 20s or so, would bring their cars to this shop. And the people at the shop, the mechanics, would talk to them, would figure out what they like, what they're into, what they think is cool. And then the owners would leave their car there for a whole week, and they would completely deck the car out for them. One that I saw was this young man. He brought his car in, left it there. They cut the top off of the car, turned it into a convertible. So they cut the whole top off, and when the convertible went back, right there in the back seat is a full grill station. I mean, everything that you would need. They had the barbecue. They had the refrigerator for the meat. I mean, the briquettes, everything that you needed right there. So you drop the top, full barbecue in the back seat. Another one that I saw was a young lady who liked to go out. They put an entire salon in the trunk of her car. So pull the trunk up, slides out. It's an entire salon, everything that she would need. Do her hair, do her makeup, do her nails, do whatever else ladies do to at the salon to get ready to go out. It's all right there. And so sometimes in our lives, when we take stock, we look at everything that we have going on, everything that we are, and we decide to make a change like this. Maybe not that extreme, but something similar to that. We take a look and go, you know what I really need? A barbecue in the back seat of my car. That's the kind of change my life really needs. This is a great idea. It's a cool idea. It's something that it's like, yeah, this is a good change for me. This is something that I'd really like to do. Now, if we could imagine the shop that we would take our car or our lives to had the mechanic of Jesus, imagine the possibilities that we could get out of that. We take our life, we take our car into this shop, and the mechanic Jesus is there. Imagine the possibilities. We could have a flying car. We could have a submarine car. We could have a flying submarine car with a barbecue in the back seat and a salon in the trunk. I mean, it could be anything. It's Jesus. He has the power of the whole universe. He has everything. I mean, who knows what it could be? With all of this, we need to make room without consideration for our personal comfort. So when we bring our car into this shop, we have to realize that in the end, in a week, it's going to be this amazing creation. But when the back seat of our car is being ripped out, it's not as much fun. When the top of our car is being cut off, that's a hard time. That's a hard thing to remember. Now, these ideas that we have, the flying car, the submarine car, the barbecue car, I mean, these are great ideas, but these are our ideas. These are the things that we can think of for our cars, for our lives. We have these amazing ideas. Now, Jesus has taken a look at our car, and he says, let me transform that thing. Let me completely deck it out. He knows where we've been. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows where we're going to be. He is not coming in and looking at our car on accident. He is there for a purpose. He is there for a reason. There are no accidental encounters with Jesus. He is there because he knows where you've been, what you are now, and most importantly, all the things that are come down the road in the future. He knows all the speed bumps, all the intersections, everything that's going to happen. Now, here's the hard part. The hard part, what it takes to fully restore or fully deck out a car. Things that we need to remember are that sometimes the hard stuff is going to happen. Sometimes we might get sanded right down to our bone. Sometimes we're going to lose those little things in our car that we love so much that need to be replaced. Sometimes the top's going to get chopped off. Sometimes the back seat's going to get ripped out. We need to remember those things. Now, the mechanic Jesus has given us a manual for our cars. Your manual probably looks something very similar to this. Now, I am all about taking my car to Jesus the mechanic. I am on that team. I am ready. Of course I would. It's Jesus. Why wouldn't I take my life to him and say, here, go for it? So if I look into my manual, I've given my car to the mechanic Jesus, and I read my manual, and I look in here and it says, wash your windows inside and out. Yes, I can do that. That is something I can do. That's really easy. I have the Windex. I have the paper towels. Yes, I can do that. Now I feel good about myself. I do that today. It feels good. Feels good. So if I keep reading, it says, take the trash out of the inside of your car. Yeah, I can do that. I can take, you know, if If you're anything like me, not all the trash is in a nice little bag, you know, all tidy. And some of it's in the bag, you know, but some of it's kind of around the bag or, you know, nowhere near the bag in the back seat or under, you know, but I can do that. I can gather all that trash and I can get it out. I can make a spick and span. I like that. I'm happy with that. I'm feeling really good about myself. I'm making moves. I keep reading. Remove and replace the slave cylinder. Okay, I can do that. You know, it's a little bit, not quite sure where the slave cylinder is. I'm not quite sure what the slave cylinder is, but I can figure that out. Let me keep reading here. Drop the tranny, remove the flywheel, and unbolt the drive shaft. Yeah. That's a good one for, you know, like next year or something. I don't know exactly. I seem to remember, though, isn't there something in my manual about painting my car candy apple red? I do remember that. I remember reading that. Yep, right here. Paint your car candy apple red. Yes. Only after pulling rotors, removing calipers, returning the rotors before reassembling. I don't actually know how to do any of those things. But thankfully for me, I have a mechanic that does. I have a mechanic that knows exactly how to do every one of those things. If we are willing to read our manuals, to trust our mechanic, we can grow, we can be fully decked out, fully restored, and be perfect machines to do God's work, to do Jesus' work. If we are willing to take the actions that Jesus asks of us, if we are willing to pray, to understand what he is asking, if we are able to just read our manuals and devote ourselves, take our cars to the mechanic of Jesus. Understanding all of the hard things that are going to happen, it's easy to think of, it's easy to say, yes, I'm willing to go through that. In those moments, not always that easy. If we can remember, if we can make room without consideration for our personal comfort and allow the mechanic Jesus to come to us, if we can accept that there are no accidental encounters, that he is there for a reason, that he is in our lives because he knows exactly what our cars need, and if we take the actions that Jesus is asking of us, we can become completely restored, completely decked out, wonderful machines to do his work. Thank you very much for letting me share today. I'll turn it back to Brent.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. I think some of the concepts that Will had there are very impactful. And as I started off this morning, I was talking about these different moments in our life that will change everything. And typically when we think of moments that will change everything, we think of the moments that happen to us. And what Will has begun to introduce to us this morning is the idea of things that happen within us. Those moments where you begin to say, you know what, I'm actually going to make room without consideration for my personal growth. For my personal comfort, I'm going to allow Jesus to begin to rip out the backseat or make those changes. That moment when you realize that you haven't encountered Jesus on accident, that moment when you decide you're going to take the action that Jesus leads you to. What I want to do is I want to dive into a story of some guys that we see that encounter moments just like these, where Jesus walks into their lives and all of a sudden their lives become transformed in a way that they never thought possible. The story's in the book of Luke. The book of Luke is about 4/5 of the way through your Bible. It's going to be on the screen behind me. It's in your message notes. But this story happens pretty early in Jesus' public ministry. Jesus hasn't even selected his 12 disciples, those that would be following him closely. He's just getting started, but everybody's starting to talk about him. crowds are starting to gather when Jesus would speak. And so at this particular point, we see a crowd gathering to hear Jesus. The story is in Luke chapter 5. It goes this way. It says, "One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there." Now, this is just a guess on my own. I don't actually own a boat. But if you're a boat owner, my guess is that when a stranger steps up and just climbs into your boat without asking, and then the stranger steps in and starts kind of giving you some instructions for their own personal use without really consulting you. If you're the boat owner, I'm guessing that's typically not received well, right? I mean, right? Typically boat owners, if you want to come on their boat, what do you have to do? There's the whole permission to come on board, sir. Jesus didn't do any of that. Jesus is like, "Oh, I'm stepping into your boat. And could you push it out a little deeper?" All of a sudden, in this moment, these guys have an opportunity to decide that they're going to make room without consideration of their own personal comfort. They've got a job to do. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, "I'm just going to take your boat over." But something about the way Jesus was teaching, something about the words that he was saying, something as they're washing their nets, they're hearing the words of Jesus, and they're like, "Okay, let's make some room for him." Back to the story. It says this: Then he had finished speaking. He said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." In Simon's mind, don't you think he's got to be thinking, "This guy just stumbled into my boat. They just happened to put their boat on this particular shore. Jesus and this huge crowd just sort of show up." In Simon's mind, he's got to be like, "This is a very weird coincidence. That at the same time, we would show up at the same moment." But Simon is about to discover what Will just pointed out, is that an encounter with Jesus is never an accident. Because in this particular moment, Simon and these guys that are fishing, they're about to experience something more than anything they could have imagined, and even more than what the crowd is about to experience. We aren't even told what Jesus says to the crowd. We have no idea. We are told that Jesus turns to some fishermen and tells them how to fish. Doesn't this seem a little bit awkward, a little bit weird to you? Like some guy who's talking to crowds and he's talking about God and he's talking, and all of a sudden he climbs into a boat with some fishermen and he starts to tell them how to fish. Those fisher guys, they're like, "What is going on? We didn't think this was going to happen. This seems a little bit odd." You remember back at the beginning of this whole series, one of the things I challenged you with was to consider the idea of 1 to 3 people that you know that currently don't know Jesus. And how sometimes that conversation can be a little bit awkward. And how sometimes we can get into those conversations and it just never seems like it's the right time. We're closing in on Easter, just a couple of weeks out. And that opportunity for you to invite somebody to come to church is going to present itself. And it's going to seem like it's a coincidence. It's going to seem like just an accident. We have to watch for that right moment. We have to watch for that moment where we know the time is right. The opportunity is there. The chance to invite somebody is available. It's not an accident. It's you beginning the process of them coming to know Jesus. And those encounters don't happen by accident. And if it ever feels awkward, it can't feel any more awkward than telling a fisherman how to fish when they've had all night without any luck. But listen to this amazing result. Jesus says, "Hey, let's try it again." The story goes on. It says, "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Simon suddenly decides, "I'll take the action Jesus asked me to take. I'll do it. I don't get it." And let's be honest, that's never easy to do. It's never easy, even if we want to, even if we think we can, to respond when Jesus leads is not always an easy thing. We understand that there's value in that moment. We understand that we want to change, or we want to grow, or we want to get that new barbecue grill in the back of our car, or whatever. whatever it is, and Jesus comes along and says, hey, would you do this? Would you take this action? Would you take this choice? It's going to change who you are. Okay. He could say, hey, try this, do this, change this way. It's going to impact those around you. It's going to change the world around you. But oftentimes, just knowing that we're supposed to, just knowing that we want to, oftentimes isn't enough to cause us to respond, to take that action, to take that step that we need to take. So what I want to do, I want to spend the rest of our morning talking about how can we approach the action that Jesus calls us to take? How do we take that step? Even if we aren't sure we're able to, or sure that we want to, or sure that we... How do we do that? The first response when taking that action is to take the action based on what's right in front of you. What is it that's right in front of you? For Simon, Jesus, step into the boat. Okay, step into the boat. That was the action right in front of him at that moment. And then the next action that Jesus says, hey, will you push this out a little bit? Okay, I can push my boat out a little bit. And then Jesus says, hey, why don't we go out a little bit deeper? Drop the nets in again. Okay, I'll do that again. You know the great thing about Jesus? He will rarely tell you the whole plan. That's amazing. We get frustrated by it, but it's actually very liberating. Because all you have to do, all I have to do is respond to what's right in front of us. We don't have to worry about what we're supposed to do after we do the thing that's next. We just do the thing that's next. And the thing after that, he'll tell us the next time. And then we just take the action based on what's right in front of you. Especially when you know what it is. And in a room this size, my guess is that it's unique for each of us. But there's a really good chance the thing that you're supposed to do next, you already know. And you simply need to take that next step. An important concept about that idea, about taking the next step, is that not everyone is going to think it's a good idea. Right? For these fishermen, they've been working all night long. It probably didn't seem like a really good idea to try to fish again. My guess is that they would have pulled the crowd really quick and said, so Jesus thinks we should go out and fish again. You guys all think that's a good idea? Boo. I mean, like, why would they? You're the fisherman. Do what you think. Not everybody's always going to think it's a good plan. But if it's the thing that's next and Jesus is calling you to do that next, respond. And the best thing to know about the process that is next and the second concept is we don't have to understand him completely to respond immediately. When Jesus asks you to do something, you don't have to have the whole thing figured out to respond immediately. Simon didn't get it. Jesus is like, hey, go drop your nets again. And Simon tells us what he's thinking. He's like, well, we've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. But okay. I don't get it. But I guess Jesus is saying we should try again. So he responds immediately, even without understanding completely. You might be struggling with an addiction or a habit. And right now, you know the thing that you're supposed to do next is to have a conversation with someone. To establish some level of accountability. And in your mind, you're like, I don't know how this will help. I don't understand how this will help. You don't have to completely understand to respond immediately. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to change in your life. There's somebody that's using you and controlling you, and you need to establish some boundaries. And you don't understand how those boundaries are necessarily going to work. You don't have to understand them completely. If Jesus is calling you to that next step, you can respond immediately without completely understanding. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you don't feel valued. Maybe you need to find a place to serve and to volunteer, to give of yourself, to extend yourself. And maybe that doesn't make sense. Maybe you're like, well, if I extend myself, if I give of myself, how is that going to change? Respond immediately without understanding completely. And that change will begin to happen as you begin to take that step. I've mentioned it a couple times. Easter is coming right around the corner. And it's so easy to recognize that this is the opportunity that you and I have to invite people to come and know Jesus, to come and experience him. And as we begin to think about, maybe I'll invite somebody, it's so easy to begin to go, I can already know why they're going to say no. We already start to make up excuses for the individual before we even invite them to come. You and I, we don't even understand it. We don't have to understand how it's going to work. We just have to respond in the process. Respond to the opportunity in front of us. Respond immediately to it. Because oftentimes, the thing that changes within the individual who maybe has even said no 100 times before, they've said no every time you've invited. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, hey, why don't you go drop the net again? Jesus, I just did that. I just invited him last Easter. No, go drop the net again. Okay. I guess I'll drop the net again. And here's how the story keeps going. It says, a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. At the start, Simon, he gets that there's something different about Jesus. He's not really sure what it is. The crowds are following him. But then he begins to allow Jesus to step into the boat. He begins to allow Jesus to work in his life. And suddenly Simon begins to say, okay, I'll go fish again if that's what Jesus is telling me to do. And all of a sudden the nets get loaded. And the boats begin to sink under the weight of all these fish. And Simon suddenly grasps who it is that Jesus is. And the greatest decision that you and I can make in this process is to recognize whom it is that has stepped into our boat. You know that Jesus has greater plans for your life than you have for your life? Jesus had greater plans for Simon's life than catching a whole bunch of fish on that night. If you know how this story goes, shortly after this, Simon ends up getting his name changed, and Jesus begins to call him Peter, and Peter begins to recognize in this moment who Jesus is. That Jesus is so much more powerful, so much more wise, begins to recognize whom it is that's just stepped into his life. He begins to call him Lord. He begins to acknowledge that he's his master, that he's going to worship him, that he's going to respect him. And all of a sudden, Peter begins to move into seeing who Jesus truly is. So much more than just a teacher of this large crowd, but an individual that deserves his worship, that deserves his respect. And in that moment, Peter begins to experience a change that transforms everything. And because of his willingness in the midst of those circumstances to respond to what's right in front of him, Jesus begins to change things in dramatic ways. And Peter has no idea what that moment and what that transformation is going to do for the rest of his life and for the rest of the history of the world. Peter has no idea that thousands and millions of people would be impacted because of what would happen throughout the rest of his life. Peter has no idea that cities will be named after him because of this moment. Peter has no idea that buildings will be constructed in honor of him. Peter has no idea that an entire VeggieTales series or episode would be written about his life story. But what he recognized was who Jesus was. And who it was that had just stepped into his boat. And the transformation that could happen in that moment. For you and for me, don't miss who the individual is that has now stepped into your life. Don't miss who it is that wants to help transform you in this moment. Don't miss your opportunity to respond to what's right in front of you. And even if it feels like, man, the nets have not filled up before, this is an opportunity to drop the nets again and allow those nets to be filled with the very thing that you desire most. And allow Jesus to step into your life and into this moment and into whatever it is that you're dealing with and transform and change you and bring about results that you could have never imagined. on the back of your Connect card, we challenge you each week to think through, what does this mean for you? And what is God calling you to do? What is Jesus saying to you? What does this mean in your life? So for you, what is your next step? Maybe this morning for you, your next step is to be willing to be uncomfortable in order to make room for others. Maybe your next step is to take action when Jesus asks you to. Maybe your next step is to respond to Jesus, even if you don't understand. Maybe your next step is to realize you're in the boat with the God of the universe. Band's going to come and play one last song. Again, I would just encourage you and challenge you to respond. What is it that Jesus is calling you to do right now? What is your next step in this moment? Let's pray. Jesus, would you help us to hear from you? Would you help us to respond to whatever it is that you're calling us to do? Jesus, would you recognize that there are moments that change everything? And often those moments are when we respond to the leading that you're putting in our lives in that moment. Give us the courage to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.